You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth Hour, and we are here once again. We're in our new situation where we are now recording with Pastor John Kirkwood of Grace Gospel Fellowship in Bensonville, Illinois. And I just returned a few days ago from Madrid, Spain, where I attended the World Congress of Families, and we're very happy to have on the line, actually, our first international interview, Ignacio Arzuaga. Ignacio, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, it's quite good. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Okay. And Ignacio and I barely know each other. I was a speaker and attended the World Congress of Families, which was put on by the Howard Center. It's an annual event, and this year, Ignacio's organization, which is called Azte Oir, and I'm going to let you explain, give an English translation of that, Ignacio, but his organization, which he founded in 2001, now just did an outstanding job of pulling together this conference. And first of all, Ignacio, congratulations for the wonderful work you did.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it was a good congress with very good speakers like yourself, and we thank God for making it possible, and also hundreds of volunteers who worked very hard and very professionally to make it a great success for family and for life.
Well, now, your organization, is it fair, Ignacio? First of all, what is Azte Oir? How would you translate that into English?
Yeah. You could translate it as make you heard or speak out. So it's actually a group of active citizens who want to make our voice heard in public life. And we are politically incorrect. We are pro-life. We are pro-family. We are pro-liberty. So we believe that our voice is good for society. And we just want to make sure that politicians, our representatives and the media and public opinion listen to us and consider our arguments in the public debate.
Yes, and you're very you guys did a wonderful job, and everybody who attended praised it. And we're going to talk about the there was a homosexual counter protest. We want to talk about that, but first of all, Azte Oir, is it safe to call it pretty much predominantly Catholic pro life organization?
Well, actually, we are a civil association. We have Catholics, we have evangelicals, we have non-believers that share, you know, this Christian concept of human being and society. I am Catholic. Actually, I'm the president and the founder of the association, but we are open to different denominations, and we actually don't ask, you know, the people about their personal beliefs,
right.
Although for myself and for the board of directors, I know, our Christian, our Catholic belief is very important.
Right.
That's actually what moves us to go into the public square and fight this culture war.
Yes, and you know, learning more about you after, actually, when I got back and started researching for this interview, I mean, you've had some amazing achievements. And I think the World Congress, and I'm going to let you explain sort of what the purpose of the World Congress is, but this is an exciting phenomenon in the pro-family movement whereby people, you know, from all over the world get to meet each other, they get to bond, they get to become friends, and you know, it's amazing to meet somebody like you who've you have organized a march. Your group successfully organized a pro-life march with over 150,000 people that attended in Spain, and it's just it's very edifying to know that the same pro-family movement, the cause that energizes us all, the pro-life and pro-family and pro-marriage cause, is active all over the world.
Yeah.
Tell us about the world. How did you get involved? First of all, what is the purpose of World Congress, and how did you guys come to host a conference in Madrid?
Well, you actually described what's the World Congress. It's a coalition of pro-family and pro-life leaders and activists from all over the world and scholars who meet every 2 years, usually every 2 years, to discuss, you know, the situation of the family, of marriage, of demography, freedom of education, freedom of religion, all these issues that preoccupy us, or that we are worried about, and also it is actually a coalition. So we meet, we network, we get to be good friends with people who fight in different countries for the same cause. And that personal contact also sometimes evolves into actual coalition that fights specific battles all together. And we get, you know, it's not only meeting every 2 years, but it's also about keeping in contact and sharing what we are doing, each group from different countries all over the world, and learn from best practices from other groups and work together for the same cause.
Now, and you, how did you come to host a World Congress? Because that's quite a big undertaking.
It's actually a long story, but several years ago, there's a Spanish pro-life think tank, sorry, pro-family think tank called Institute for Family Policies. Lola Velarde she's the president. She's a very good friend of mine, and she went to the World Congress of Families 4 that happened in Warsaw like 6 years ago. So she had a very great relationship, and she got friend of several of the World Congress of Families leaders. And she was convened, she was asked to go to attend a meeting in Washington, D.C. to prepare for World Congress of Families 5 that finally took place in Amsterdam 3 years ago. But she couldn't go. So she asked me, well, why don't you go? I think, you love these World Congress of Families and the people. You learn from the Americans. They've been fighting for life and the family for several decades, and you should go. So I said, okay. I asked my wife. She said, okay. And I went to Washington, D.C. I participated in this preparation meeting, or selection meeting, actually. And it was decided that World Congress of Families 5 was going to take place in Amsterdam. So, well, I've been involved in these preparation meetings. And I don't know how they convinced me to present to become candidates to organize this World Congress of Families 6. I presented. We won that selection meeting. You know, we won the candidacy, and we were chosen. When we said that we want to, you know, be the organizers for World Congress of Families 6. We didn't know it was that difficult, but now we are very happy that we didn't know that, and that we asked to be the organizers of this meeting, of this Congress, and, well, it took place several days ago, and we are really happy how it happened.
Now, you had over 2,000, you have 2,900 attendees, or?
Yeah, it went a little bit, the last days we got more registrations, and it was more than almost 3,100 people who registered to attend the Congress. So that went to our Congress, that participated very actively, and they felt that some of them are saying that, well, that it was a life-changing experience, and that they learned a lot, and right now they are very much energized to keep on fighting, keep on working for life and the family.
And that's the whole point. And again, it was very well run. It was the presentations were fabulous. It was sometimes, I'm sure, it was difficult for the speakers because there wasn't a lot of time to speak. But it was just tremendous, and you did an outstanding job, you and your volunteers. And it was the first World Congress that I'd ever attended. Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a partner with World Congress, but I'd never attended one of these. And I'll tell you what, it's something that I think pro-family leaders should want to go to. The next one, I believe, is in Australia. Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to get out there, but it was really well done. Now, we have a minute and a half to the break. Just before we get to actually some more about the protests and everything, tell us about your family life. And you're a young bird. I mean, I'm 50 now, so everybody's getting younger to me now. But how many children do you have?
Yeah, I've got 4 children, all our sons, all our male. And the youngest is 3 weeks old. So,
oh, congratulations!
Thank you very much. We are blessed. I'm really blessed with a great wife and these 4 children and yeah.
There's more coming, right, Ignacio?
Well, God willing. I mean, we're in God's hands. But yeah, of course. I mean, we're open to my wife. Of course, she really wants a girl. So.
Yeah,
we keep on trying.
There you go. That's awesome. And one of the themes of the conference was the demographic winter, which is the, you know, this phenomenon by which the states are almost, you know, threatening to become extinct because the birth rates are so low.
Yeah. That's one of the main issues we talked about in the Congress. And of course, there is under population problem all over the world, and if we want to overcome this economic crisis, we need more children. So
right.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll talk about that. The music's coming on, and we're still we have a new studio here. We're getting used to things. But we're talking to Ignacio Arzuaga. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. He's a very talented young pro-family leader in Spain, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, folks. This is Peter LaBarbera with the Americans for Truth Hour with my friend Pastor John Kirkwood at Grace Gospel Fellowship Church in Bensenville, Illinois. And we're talking to our new international friend, Ignacio Arzuaga. And Ignacio, I'm not butchering your name, am I?
No, it's okay. It's Ignacio, but it's quite similar, so that's great.
Doing the best we can. In fact, I had a pretty sad experience in one of the restaurants. I told the waitress I spoke a little Spanish, and then she said, she immediately went to get the order, and of course I couldn't handle it. I think she was sort of tormenting us because it was a bunch of gringos who didn't know good Spanish. And but anyways, we got the food. We did get the food. But okay. Anyways, Ignacio is the founding president of Aste Oír, and the website, and that means sort of speak out in English. The website is hazteoir.org. Is that correct?
That's perfect.
That's perfect.
We have an English explanation of what our platform about.
So yes, I was reading some of the pages using the Google Translate thing, Ignacio, and it's not really. I mean, it does okay, but it doesn't really do it justice.
Okay.
That's the first time I ever used Google Translate. But John, you had a question for Ignacio.
Ignacio, Pastor Kirkwood, I just want to say it's a great honor to be able to speak to a brother in Christ from across the pond, as they say. I'm thankful that you're fighting the good fight out there in Spain. I always like to ask people like you, Ignacio, who are energized and in the arena and a joyful warrior, how is it that you got involved in this fight, in this movement? What impelled you to do this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the ultimate reason is because you know, Christ saved the human being, saved the world, and I want, you know, to make sure that I can help somehow so that this world becomes the kingdom of Christ, of God. So that it's a world of peace and of love, and not a world of hatred or of discrimination or many other things that are happening today. And well, the story is actually since I was in university, I participated in different groups there, conservative groups, and I have this belief that Christ must be, well, first in the human being hearts, but also in public life. So I went to the United States. I lived in New York for YSAID and LLM in Fordham University in 1998, just married, and went there. And I felt that in the United States, of course, there was a conservative movement, pro-life, pro-family, very, very important movement that didn't exist in Spain, in Europe, I would say. In Europe, you know, political correctness was too strong. The media, the political parties in Spain, for sure, they wouldn't talk about our issues. They even center-right parties wouldn't talk about our issues. So I found out that in the United States, you have this freedom to debate about all these politically incorrect issues, and that, I mean, there are many groups, many platforms, many individuals who are fighting this culture war. And I came back to Spain in 1999. I started working at a law firm, and after years, afterwards, in 2 years, I started thinking about creating a web page to promote participation of citizens in public life, and I created this first action alert. I was actually copying what you were doing in the United States at that moment, and even today, these action alerts, and we are doing so that we create this opportunity to to put pressure on politicians so that they feel that there are lots of citizens who want to protect and to promote the family, marriage, life. So that's what we are doing now, and that's how it happened. Yeah,
and it seems like, I mean, you're quite an activist. It seems like now you could teach Americans how to fight. I mean, you organized a rally. Tell us about this pro-life march in Spain. I think this was last year, which drew 150,000 participants. I think if activists in the United States would love to be able to mobilize those types of numbers to on behalf of life and other pro-family issues.
Yeah, I mean, it was not ourselves. It was Zapatero, our socialist president, who mobilized that many people. You know, he decided in 2009 that he wanted to approve, to pass a new abortion law that created the right to abortion, the so-called right to abortion. Before, abortion was a crime, and he wanted to transform it into a right. And, you know, many people didn't like that. Of course, the majority of Spaniards, according to all the polls, rejected that law. But he was a very ideological, radical president. And he started the parliamentary procedure to pass this law in 2009. And it took a year and a half until 2011 that the law was finally passed. And those, you know, year and a half, almost 2 years, we organized not one, but several marches with lots of people who protested and who asked our Congress, our Senate, not to pass this law. It was finally approved and published in the official Gazette. But you know, this movement continued to demonstrate, continued to be active after the law was passed, after the socialist president Zapatero lost his third term, and now with the center-right party, thanks to that mobilization, thanks to those marches, current president has announced, has, you know, said that he will change this law and he will go back to the previous law, even a little more restrictive, more pro-life. So, well, we'll keep on mobilizing, we'll keep on working and fighting to make sure that he fulfills his promise and he finally approves a new abortion law, much more restrictive than current law.
Now, Zapatero, he was in for two terms?
Yeah.
And he was in for... And he was a hard left. And tell us about this. I learned, you know, there was great concern over this, the law of citizenship, or, you know, forcing sort of new standards on schools, on students. Tell us about that. And did you mobilize against that as well?
Yeah, you're talking about this education for citizenship.
Yes.
Curriculum, you know, that was approved to be taught in school, from primary school, from very, very young kids. up to high school, and it was a new subject created to teach socialism, to teach relativism, gender theory to the children, and that curriculum still is currently it's live. It's being taught in schools today. Our new government, center-right government, has said that it will change this curriculum so that there is no ideological content. But we're really worried, because what we really want is that this subject disappears. And they say that they will just change the content. So if, you know, Socialist Party wins against some election in the following years, they'll have this subject to, again, you know, include this ideological content. So right. We're really worried, about that.
Now, we have Obama, and, you know, people debate whether he's how much of a socialist or whether he's a socialist, but you actually lived under socialists. And tell us about that. I mean, that must have been extraordinary times. You used that to mobilize your group, but what is it like, confronting the power of left-wing governance like that, socialist power?
Well, actually, they want a bigger and bigger state with more power over people's conscience. They really want to rule everything. They are always trying to decide, at the parliament when, for instance, life starts. They even tried to approve. Finally, they couldn't pass it because they didn't have enough time. They wanted to approve an anti-discrimination law to actually oblige, companies to hire homosexuals if they, they wouldn't, let the, for instance, tenants rent, wouldn't let the tenants decide on
right.
who they want to rent their house or their, it was a totalitarian type of law that finally was not passed, thank God. But they want to, to decide, they want to impose this gender theory. They want to educate the children into their own ideology, not matter what the parents think about it. So they want to teach about moral issues, not only, technical
yes.
issues or other subjects. But, I mean, it's very similar to totalitarianism, but, it's a bit hidden. It's disguised so that people don't realize that, because we can vote every 4 years, of course, but they try to manipulate people's minds so that people don't realize that they are actually being totalitarian.
Right.
So they talk about democracy, they talk about freedom, of tolerance, but actually they are imposing their own ideology.
We got 45 seconds left, Ignacio. But how strong was the repudiation? I mean, this was a landslide victory for the center-right party, right?
Yeah, it was. They got more than 55% of the votes. And that's a huge victory. And the reason, one of the reasons, of course, is the economic crisis. But another one is people rejecting this totalitarian project. So we're really happy that we got this victory. And the second step is convincing this new government to approve pro-life and pro-family laws.
Yes. Okay. All right. We're talking to Ignacio Azuaga, who's in Madrid, Spain. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth with John Kirkwood. Our website is americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. You can support us at AmericansForTruth.org. There's a donate button at the top. You can sign up for our alerts. And we encourage you, we're talking about the World Congress and the excellent host for that event, which is was led by a group called Azte Oir. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing, botching the pronunciation a bit, but it basically means speak out. And they're based in Madrid. We have their president on the line, Ignacio Arzuaga. And before I go back to him, we want to play something.
Well, you know, Pete, can I just interject a quick question before
sure,
we go to that
sure.
clip? Ignacio, I was fascinated by hearing you talk about the pressure from your socialist government and even to get around what parents want their children to learn. We have that here, too. Our political institutions have sold out to this movement, our schools, our courts even. But I wanted to ask you about the cultural life in Spain. We have the homosexual movement here in America has such a grip on our culture, movies and television, that we can't even have a situation comedy on television anymore without having a gay character that's usually the best dressed. He's the funniest. He's the person you go to for advice.
Yeah.
Has it pervaded your culture in Spain that much where your television shows are influenced by gay propaganda?
Yeah, exactly as in the United States. I mean, I don't really watch Spanish movies, so the ones that I've watched, that I've seen, it's exactly the same. You know, the gay characters are the funniest ones, are the, you know, the better persons. So it's a worldwide trend, and that's happening in the United States, but that's happening in Europe exactly the same. So no difference at all.
Well, now, before I want to get to the clip, since we're on the topic, maybe we'll have to do that in a little bit. But Ignacio, set us up for, okay, you had a protest. There were gay activists, homosexual activists, who condemned you, who tried to affect the venue of the Palacio where the World Congress was held. Tell us about that, and then we want to talk about the bishop who is persecuted just because he said that homosexuality is among the sins.
Yeah, like a week before our World Congress of Families started, there was a gay online newspaper who even called the owner of the Palacio de Congresos, the Congress Palace, who is the Ministry of Tourism in our government. And they even asked to prohibit, you know, the celebration of this Congress, because they said it was homophobic and it actually supported discrimination against gays. So we even got the Federation of Gays and Lesbians calling for, you know, the prohibition of the celebration of the Congress. And we even got the Communist Party, which in Spain has several members of our parliament, and different other organizations. They even organized a so-called anti-family congress. So even they even use those terms, anti-family.
At least they're honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was not many people. It happened in a different place in Madrid, far from the Palacio de Congresos. They even said that they were going to demonstrate, to rally in front of the Congress Palacio, so the Congress Palace, but finally, didn't. It took place, far from the palace. So I mean, they say that family is against the progress of society. They defended their ideas. We even got one police car with several police officers there. You know, during the state.
Yes, I saw that.
Congress.
But they were there ever really? Was there a strong chance that they could have actually blocked it, or was that sort of an empty threat?
Yeah, actually, we didn't know before the Congress took place. We didn't know. They used Twitter and Facebook to call other gay activists to go there and demonstrate before the Palacio de Congresos, but I don't know if it was because the police was there or because, I mean, they are not that many, or because they were just, I mean, they were trying to scare us, but nothing else. Nothing happened, thank God. And you know, and of course, the Spanish government, the Ministry of Tourism, said that I mean, they agree with freedom of expression, you know, with freedom of thought, and with religious freedom. So
what a concept. Now the more dangerous thing, of course, is that was sort of, it seemed like a nuisance, and it shows the homosexual activists' intolerance that they would actually try to cancel a venue, which, by the way, has happened to our group in the United States. Many pro-family groups, including many that participate in the Congress, have been labeled hate groups, so-called hate groups, by a very left-wing organization, and so sometimes they use that to keep them, these groups, out of meeting and, you know, getting hotels to cancel them. But the more serious thing that happened in Spain was the incident with Bishop Juan Antonio Rey Pia. I want you to pronounce that so we get it right. Tell us what happened to him simply because he mentioned in a sermon, in a homily, that homosexuality is a sin.
Yeah. It was Holy Friday, and he was talking about sin. So he mentioned about 15 or 20 types of sins, and one was homosexual behavior. So, I mean, that homily was, and all the Holy Mass was being shown on TV, on public television. And yeah, the gay lobby, the gay activist groups started to first criticize and then insult and mock on the bishop. And they even got the city, well, this is the bishop of Alcalá de Henares, which is a city close to Madrid, to Spain's capital, and the city hall there of Alcalá de Henares, they even, I mean, it was controlled by the socialists, and they declared, you know, a non grata person their own bishop, and that this is the first time that has happened in Spain. They even asked the Vatican to take the bishop away from the town. And that's also, I mean,
increíble.
It's incredible. That's the word.
And this is a man who is respected. Now, I was at the Congress when he got a standing ovation.
Yep.
It's not only mobilized people, but it's also educated them about the real agenda of the homosexual activists.
Yeah. People didn't know that gay activists are so totalitarian until this happened. And you know, the 3,000 people who were in the Congress on Friday when Bishop Juan Antonio Rech was there and he stood, we gave him 32,000 messages of support, and all the people, you know, stood up and gave him a huge applause. And it took like 4 or 5 minutes, and he was really humbled by that support that was shown by everybody who was there at the auditorium of the Congress Palace. It was something very, very nice, and I know that I talked to him afterwards. He felt you know, this support very important for him to keep on being on saying the truth, which is not easy.
and that's a big function of pro-family advocacy. Is shoring up people, because we all know, and it's interesting to me, Ignacio, that of all the groups, I mean, you dealt with demographic winter, pornography, very much on the life issue, but the group that gave you the most hassle was the homosexuals.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't protested by feminists at the, I mean, it was the homosexuals.
Yeah.
They're the most aggressive.
Yeah, they are the most aggressive, I mean, with no doubt, and there are some people who are, you know, in favor of abortion, but they are not that aggressive. They are not that authoritarian. So the only ones were the homosexuals. That's a general trend that's happening all over the world. And I mean, and our freedom of speech and our democracy is actually in risk because they don't believe in freedom.
Yes. Now, you guys were fearless in confronting that, and I applaud you for it. Tell me briefly, you mentioned in the Education for Citizenship, what was the gender? Give us an example of one of the things the socialist government wanted to teach children on the gender and homosexuality issue.
Yeah. Well, there was one book, for instance, where you had these two, like a man and a woman with their children. They were a married couple. They were like old-fashioned, very ugly. And then you had these two women, you know, who are married and who are very, you know, modern, and they dressed very fashionable way. This type of pictures, of messages, where they say, for instance, they are teaching the children there are different types of families. There is, a man and a woman, two women or two men. And they are teaching our children, even if we don't agree with that, that's normal. Or they are even encouraging children to before deciding if they are heterosexual or homosexual, to try, you know, different types of sexual encounters. That was being taught to very young kids, and even today in some schools that's being taught. Many times parents don't even know. So that happened. What was very surprising and for everybody and very hopeful is that many parents, told the schools that their children wouldn't go to that class. So that's a conscience objection. They filed, these writings to the school. And they were very courageous, because sometimes the school didn't want. I mean, they fought against that. They didn't want the parents to file these papers, and they wanted to oblige the children to go to class. So that was a very courageous fight, and we finally won. You know, the socialists lost, and the new government will take this law away, and they will change the content of this subject.
That's great. We'll be right back with Ignacio Azuaga in 1 minute. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in our final segment with Ignacio Azuaga, who is an excellent pro-family, up-and-coming, I can say that. He's only 39. You know, he's young, and he's doing tremendous work in Madrid, Spain. He or his group, Hazte Oír, and let me give you that website. It's Hazte OIR.org. Just a wonderful group. They did a superb job of organizing the World Congress of Families. And folks, I do want to also point you to the Howard Center, which is the main group that started this whole process, led by Dr. Alan Carlson, who is a national treasure. He's a pro-family researcher. That website is thehowardcenter.org. And, it was a tremendous event. Ignacio did and his crew and his staff and the volunteers did wonderful work. And Ignacio, I want to read quickly. I believe at the end of the Congress, correct? They read the Madrid Declaration. I think did Alan read it in English, and then you read it in Spanish?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he read half of it in English, and the last half I read in Spanish. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to read. I'm going to read the marriage part in English. This is the Madrid Declaration, which was issued at the end of the World Congress. It said, "We affirm the marital union of a man and a woman to be the authentic sexual bond, the only one open to the natural and responsible creation of new life." And there's another portion, which I think is just superbly written. Well, there's several. I could read this whole thing. One of them is, we affirm the natural family is the main source of social and economic prosperity. And we're talking, folks, about the natural family, of course, a man, woman, and children. The main source of social and economic prosperity and the main pillar on which to achieve the overcoming of the current world economic crisis. We affirm the complementarity of the sexes is a source of strength. Men and women exhibit profound biological and psychological differences. When united in marriage, though, the whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. These are basic truths that have stood the test of time for centuries. Isn't it amazing, Ignacio, that we have to reaffirm them and defend them? And if we don't, people who don't adhere to those are called all sorts of nasty names by the homosexual lobby.
Yeah, I mean, it's something incredible. That shows how, things have turned around, and that people are getting crazy, because they are being taught and they are being shown very crazy things through the media, through movies, through, you know, the even legislation. So, yeah, but what is true is that, the only relevant sexual bond, for society is the one open to new lives, because
yes.
and that happens in marriage. So, you know, when a man and a woman get together in marriage, they offer to society something that no other reality can offer, and that's, you know, the creation of new lives and the conditions for those new babies, children, to acquire the virtues, the values that will, you know, let them become good citizens, and that's good for society. So that's why our laws must acknowledge that there is something singular, something different, something good for society, which is marriage.
Now, let me ask you this, yeah. Ignacio. In America, the young people, they're really, I mean, we use the word brainwash, and I don't think it's too strong. The young people are subjected to so much propaganda, not just in schools, the pro-homosexual propaganda, also other types of propaganda, feminism and sometimes radical environmentalism. But on the homosexual issue, the propaganda is so strong also in the pop culture,
yeah,
that you see the polls are showing that many young people are, even as more young people are pro-life, they are also more pro-homosexual. Compare that to Spain. And how is the situation with the young people in Spain?
Okay, according to the polls that were being published during, you know, our gay marriage, because in Spain we have gay marriage, so-called gay marriage, which actually is the destruction of the legal concept of marriage, but several polls were published at that time. The majority of Spaniards was in favor of gay marriage, but the majority of Spaniards were against adoption by same-sex couples. So, the homosexual lobby has done a great job in washing people's brains. That's the truth. And I would say the majority of young people are for gay marriage right now. We have not been, you know, good enough to show people what's gay marriage about. It's not about human rights. It's about something else. It's about destroying the concept of marriage, of family. So,
now, how do you? It seems that your group is very modern. You use social media very well. What is your plan? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but how do you plan to reach young people and turn that around?
Well, actually, it's going to be very difficult. Right now, I think that it's going to take us many years to be able to overcome this current situation of public opinion. So we are just talking about it, you know, in the media, but there is, right now we don't have a plan to be able to win this battle in public opinion and change law in the following 2, 3, 4 years. It's going to be, I'm an optimist person, but with this issue, it's going to be very hard. And what you told that is happening in the United States, that's happening in Spain, exactly the same. This is one fight that we are losing right now. So, I mean, we'll keep on talking about marriage. We'll keep on talking about the children who are actually, you know, the rights, the individual subject to rights regarding the adoption institution, and not the parents. But it's gonna take us more than 4 or 5 years, and it's gonna be a very hard fight. Yeah.
Okay, Ignacio, talk about the social media. What are the techniques, the modern techniques, the web? How do you use that, and how have you? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I just assume that your group is more modern in that respect. How would you, I mean, what is the capacity for this technology to carry the fight, the informational fight against, I mean, they have the media, they have academia, but we can be, you're using this social media. I noticed you use lots of videos. Mm-hmm. Talk about how important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, when the media is controlled by the liberals, by the left, or by the homosexual lobby, then you must find ways to reach out to communicate to your base, to the conservative people who are, you know, in Spain or in the United States or in other countries. And of course, we have a great opportunity with the internet, with email, and also with social media, with Twitter, with Facebook. So if we do a good job in social media, we'll be able to, you know, to send our message and to reach out to thousands or even millions of people, and that's what we are trying to do, because we are not the owners of these great, you know, traditional media, newspapers, TV, radio stations. But there are other opportunities to reach out, and right now we have a quarter of a million people who have joined our movement, and we reach out to them via email, and that's very effective, and people like to listen to you, to your words, with no intermediary, so that you can be, you know, outspoken, you can be very clear, you can be politically incorrect. So and that's what we are doing. I may say that we learned all of that from the conservative movement in the United States. So,
yeah, there are some great groups, and it's time to go, Ignacio. But I want to commend you for the great work you've done, and also encourage you to reach out to those young people. Your group is very appealing, and teach us here in the States. We have to turn it around. If we don't, we face some incredible oppression in the years to come from the very lobby that talks about tolerance. They're not very tolerant at all. Thank you, Ignacio, and thanks so much for taking part in this interview. Hello, folks. This is Pete LaBarber again, and I just want to remind you that beginning next week, we will be off the air at WYLL, but we will be continuing our podcasts and doing other web-based media with our friend John Kirkwood. John, are you ready for the experience?
I'm ready. I've got the hard hat on. I'm buckled in.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the show will be better for it, and we plan on doing even more than just the podcast, but stay tuned. So keep checking back at the website at AmericansForTruth.org. That's AmericansForTruth.org.